Councilor Reagan here.
Doc Renter.
And the mayor of Ken Moniz is here. At this time, I'd like to ask you to rise for our Pledge of Allegiance and ask Kitty if you would lead us, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Kitty. Added agenda items. Any matters added to the agenda at this time will be discussed under the other matters portion of the agenda or such other time selected by the city council. Any added agenda items now? Okay. I'd like to add to the agenda discussion around the labor attorney. Labor attorney discussion. And the consent agenda is item number 5. Any comments? Don?
Mr. Mayor, I've read everything. I approve it. I would like to make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
There's a motion.
I second
it. And seconded to approve the consent agenda. Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. At this time, we will take public comment.
Mr. Mayor? Ann Gay with the director of the Lapine Chamber of Commerce. And the reason I'm here this evening is to ask publicly for a meeting to discuss the TRT agreement between the board, Chamber Board of Directors and members of the council. We had asked for this some time ago, actually, when the first when the TRT agreement was first being discussed, and it was apparently not deemed necessary at that time, and we just really feel we still need to sit down as a group and discuss aspects of the agreement. And so I'd like you to please consider that.
Okay. City Manager?
Mayor and council members. We've received a request from Ann on behalf of the chamber that asks you to reconsider your position on portions of the agreement. And so I turned that over to our attorney because there was issues about whether or not there were legal concerns that would arise from a separation of independent contractor status and our efforts to place a cap on the amount of revenues for that could be used for payroll purposes. Our attorneys advised that that we should discuss that at the council workshop on September 26th. He wants to be present. He wants to address the legal issues that would arise from that. He plans to talk to Ann between now and then. He plans to also talk to Dan. And then, so that would be my recommendation that we address Ann's concern in that open forum fashion on September 26th. Okay, I don't know if you are receptive to that, but because there are legal elements, we really do need to have our attorney present and give some guidance. Okay.
And let me offer you another bit of information. You know, I remember distinctly the request for a meeting, and the ideas around that the council just can't come together for a meeting. One of the avenues to get something on the agenda, and I'm sure you probably know this, but is to send a letter to the, or come to the city hall and fill out the form requesting an item be added to the agenda. Boom.
Well, and it's not so much we wanted to be added to the agenda. We wanted to have a discussion surrounding it, knowing, as it was the first time, that it was just far too lengthy a discussion to have in a city council, a council meeting type of forum.
But there's no other way for the council to meet. We have to meet in a public forum.
A work session.
Well, we could meet, but it's still a public forum.
Well, I agree, but it's not in a forum where you meet at this meeting to take care of business quickly. You've already discussed a lot of it. A lot of what you do here is a matter of just making, you know, true what you've discussed previously. So,
well, I guess what I'm trying to offer is that it would still take that letter or that form
to be on the work session.
To be on the work session. Anything that comes before the council on the agenda, and we have an agenda for that. So that's just a piece of information that would facilitate any type of discussion between anybody in town and the council.
So it sounds like there's already a plan on the, though, for the September 26th agenda work session to...
Sounds like it to me.
Is it on that?
Yes. And yes. Mr. Mayor and council members, the way I took the letter was that because you voted and you directed a course of action, the only way that we can undo that course of action is to have you folks reconsider. And so in order to reconsider, you need to have some information to reconsider on. And I thought it prudent at the next council meeting, because that's a work session, that would be a good time for everybody to address the issues and then give staff some redirection, you know, that you want it back on the agenda for reconsideration, or you're satisfied with the course of action that you've already taken.
Okay.
So that'll be kind of what we do at the work session, is say, yep, and again, providing everybody their due opportunity for input, and then just say, okay, we've heard everything, that satisfies us that we need to reconsider that, or that satisfies us that we should just continue down the path we want to go down.
Okay. Thank you, Ann. Item 7 is discussion and possible action regarding a collaborative city-private partnership to beautify the 300 feet of Huntington Road public right-of-way along the Bi-Mart store frontage through installation of an irrigation system, wildflowers and trees. Graphic presentation by Linda Stevenson.
Mr. Mayor, before anybody said, let me make a couple remarks.
Come on up.
Yeah.
You can sit up here and listen.
Yes, and okay. Right here.
Okay.
The first job I ever had in government was a park and recreation planner for Spokane County. And I spent a year working on a park plan. And as part of doing that, I researched a lot about landscaping and beautification. And at that time, there was statements to the effect that there was a relationship between beautification and value added to businesses, okay? But not much. And then in 2004, I updated the landscape, or actually created the landscape ordinance and the tree ordinance for the city of Caldwell. I was their community development director. And as part of that landscape again, and I researched, and by that time there was quite a bit of quantification about the correlation between landscape and business. And there are a number of studies out that show that if you put in landscaping, it increases the cash register of the business by 10 to 15%. And that's an important consideration. So as I look around the city, I go, well, you know, we really don't have a lot of money to do a lot with, but we need to help the business community if we can. And recently, Joan and I went to a Norah Jones concert at the amphitheater over there in Bend at the old mill, and had all these beautiful wildflowers. And then so I came back and sort of all those things about the, you know, value added and beautification and what can we do, and I looked at that 300 feet there in front of the Bi-Mart where we're doing all this stuff anyway, and I said, it sure be nice if we could put some wildflowers out there. So I gave Linda a call to just thought was, you know, would they even grow there if we planted? Because of our weather was different than Ben's. And then that led to a discussion about, well, it could if you put some water there, which then kind of snowballed into, you know, maybe there is something that the, that Linda and the chamber and the city can collaborate on that serves the business community's best interest, you know, as part of doing business here in town. So I got some cost figures for this, somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000 to beautify that area. But it's more than just the city kind of looking and doing something. It's Linda, with all of her energies and all of her connections, maybe complementing our efforts. So with that, Linda, I'll turn it over to you.
In talking to many of the business people, a lot of them, number one, some of them have quit irrigating to the front when we actually went to city water for a charge. And part of it, I think, is because one neighbor wasn't doing something and, you know, it just kind of went down the road. So when Stephen and I were talking, we wanted to come up with something other than expensive shrubs, expensive trees that needed to be maintained. We needed to come up with a project, and many of them already have irrigation at their facilities. We needed to come up with something that was not a lot of maintenance, easy to care for, and we came up with a Lapine Beautification Wildflower Project. So the City of Lapine, thank you, City of Lapine and the Lapine Chamber of Commerce, if we work together, we can make a difference. And being in the nursery flower business, life is good, flowers make it better. These pictures Joan had taken when they were down at the Old Mill District, and I kind of used them. This is the project that we have in mind. It is to the front of Bi-Mart. You'll notice that the treat area to the back, that belongs to Bi-Mart and it is for sale. Now, when we were out there working, I had people stopping and making suggestions. They wanted to see big boulders in there. They wanted to see spruce trees in there. And my thinking was, if that property sells, we talked to Kelly, who is the manager, you don't want to put big spruce trees in there because probably that would block the view of the business that wants to go in there. So we came up with, I got a crew together. There were seven of us that started this project. And whether you go along with the idea or not, there was a lot of spotty knapweed in there. Had to come out. We really need to start enforcing this. That is a noxious weed. And I'm noticing it in a lot of areas. So this is Rhonda and Kathy, two of our citizens that care. You'll meet, you know, Rhonda at Ace Hardware. So we had seven volunteers. I took down four buckets like that. I told them, give me 2 hours. 6 hours later, and two pickup loads of weeds. This is the rest of the crew, and you can get a better angle on this. This, again, is a community working together. And Bi-Mart was kind enough to let us, Stephen had called me while we were on the job. He said that the city would have paid if we'd take it to the landfill. Landfill wasn't open, so it's at Bi-Mart and we will dispose of it. This is spotted knapweed. We really have to be aware of this and Dalmatian Town toad flax. Two big ones that I'm seeing running rampant in this area. This is a Photoshop picture. Obviously it's overdone a bit, but you can get the picture. I would like to propose that in following with what I put in the little park, two Malus Royal Raindrop crab apples. I like them. The reason is, they only get 20 feet tall, have a 15-foot spread. They are rust resistant, mildew resistant, fire blight resistant, and scab. They're an easy maintenance, and I think it would add us some color. There's your, they put on a little tiny fruit, tells you a little bit more about it. Good sturdy tree, it'll take the heat from the road. I have three of them in the little park. They're doing wonderful. This is what we're looking at. Installation of irrigation by Little River Design, $1,974.82. And she, I believe you have a sheet in front of you that tells you about that. She forgot to add that we would like to get it installed and do a test drive on it this fall, and they will winterize it once we test it, and they will also come in and start it up in the spring. City hookup, according to Stephen, and confirm this, Scott, you said about $600?
Yeah.
Okay. And a special blend of wildflower seed. I went into Round Butte Seed, talked to Mike, told him I wanted a special seed that I could have custom blended for the Lapine area. And he did up 1 pound that he donated to us for our startup project. And a pound of our custom blend will run you about $45. I contacted Vicki Russell today. I need 3 dump truck loads of field dirt. They have some nice screen field dirt. And she said that they couldn't donate the whole thing because they just donated 3 truckloads of aggregate to Roslyn Park, but they would give it to us for $100 a load. And contacted to Steve Schroeder at Get Her Dumped. He said he would deliver it to us down there for free. Just, he saw us working down there and he said, go for it. So contacted my people at Frank Schmidt Tree Nursery in Boring, Oregon, and wholesale on a 1¾-inch caliber crab apple, Royal Raindrop, is $84 per tree. Our cost is $50, and Little River Design would install them at no charge, and I will donate the compost that we need to work into the soil. So we're looking at a total project cost to start this off of $3,075. I proceeded to walk down the road and talk to Mike Surface at the fire department. You can tell I'm on the track of seeing who would come on board with this. Mike was all over the idea. He is going to, and we want to leave the bunch grass. This is that swale in front of the district office. And he would like, and I'd like to experiment with this, he would like to see it planted, seeded in November. Now that would be a dry land, and he's promised me that in the spring he will use 2 rainbirds, this isn't at a cost to the city, to get it watered. So that on the corner of Huntington, that would just look wonderful. It just does not look good right now.
Yeah.
He said, come on, let's take a walk. What do you think about this corner on the edge, left-hand side of the fire department? He said, can we do it there also? He said, you get water there, we can seed it. So picture that in wildflower seed. And he would also like to see this corner done in wildflower. The nice thing about going to wildflower seed, as with any perennial seed, they are naturally going to drop seed, and then you go in with a weed eater. Now this blend isn't going to have any inert matter. That means it isn't going to have any fillers like grass and some of the things that could take over. So it's a blend just for our area. They go in the fall, weed eat it down, kind of do a rake up and shake off that loose seed, comes back next year. So that is my proposal for our beautification project.
Council, have any questions?
How much will it cost for all of the projects that you just showed us?
The 1 pound of seed that Round Butte Seed donated to us will cover this project, the total project. 1 pound of seed, and I think I put that on there and skipped over because it was out of order. Wildflower mix blended for Lapine Project and donated by Round Butte Seed. The project area is 6,336 square feet. 1 ounce of seed covers between 200 to 300 square feet.
Well, I was talking about the whole thing, the 3 or 4.
This
1
pound will cover it. Yep. And I know that Mike, once he sees that everyone's on board, the idea is, I honestly try to never make any money off of any project I work on. He said that if you get more people on board, he will wholesale it to me, I will wholesale it back. I have a scale there, we pretty much could figure out the square footage. So the object is to do a beautification project that isn't going to cost our community a lot of money. And now I'm not talking about every homeowner in Lapine. I'm talking about the different businesses that want to come on board with this beautification project.
And I want to say this. One of the reasons that I was looking at this 300 feet is because that's the busiest location in our community. Between Bymar and the post office, you have virtually everybody. And so if you were to enhance that, I think it's a value added to our community. And yes, it costs $3,000, but we're going to spend $90,000 out here in the front to do this. ODOT paying most of it, but the beautification we get over there for $3,000 is not going to be equivalent to what we do over here for $90,000. So we don't have a lot of money. I think this will add value to the community, not just make it look better, but I think it will entice the businesses over there, make them want to do something, and also will help their investments over there. You know, and again, it's just an idea. You guys want to tell us that, thank you, but...
And Ann and I have discussed it, and if you approve of the project, we would like to see if we could get other chamber members through the Chamber Buzz and through our newsletter, let them know what we're doing and see if others want to come on board. Thank you.
I want to make sure that I understood. This includes the park in front of the fire department? And
the sea. Now, you're not installing water in front of the fire department. They have their own.
Yeah.
No.
Then down by the car wash, too.
Just
it's a great project. I don't see how we can go wrong.
They will maintain it. Scott, I'm sure, will go in and weed eat in the fall.
I have a question.
Yes.
Clarify, because I didn't get this out of what I hear Don saying he got. The amount of seed that you're talking about that we're going to buy for the city is enough to...
You're not buying that.
Okay.
That is being donated.
That's going to cover just the area in front of Bymart, or the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Down.
That's going to cover in front of Bymart, okay. The fire station, the district office, and in front of the fire station.
Okay.
What I'm asking the city to do is supply the irrigation, the fill dirt, and the valve meter, whatever thing.
Meter.
Okay. And then I will give Mike the wildflower seed to proceed with that project.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to offer something up here first. Is you know, my concern is the helter-skelter nature of starting a landscaping within the city and setting a precedent. I think that... I'll use the term, we have a precedent set for us as far as streetlights go. I don't have a problem with the streetlight itself, but I think this is the kind of issue that ought to go to the Public Works Committee. I think we are, you know, there's I heard a very good description from the city manager today about, you know, at the Public Works Committee today, in dealing with lights and types of lights and where they should go and how they should go, was, and correct me if these words are wrong, Stephen, but philosophy, policy, and a plan. I think before we go off into doing some of these kinds of things, not that it wouldn't look beautiful and it has, you know, a great deal of merit, but We ought to get a philosophy of what the city sees as the way we are going to decorate this community through landscape. And once you get that philosophy, we develop a policy, and then we put a plan in place. I guess part of the issue too that I have is that, you know, we've got a lot of stuff that's on our plate. We're doing lots of things. And here we are, out of the clear blue, dealing with another new issue that we've got to think about, that we really haven't had time as a council to think about. And I would encourage, I mean, I think every one of us realize that, you know, there's a great deal of benefit and everything to having landscaping, but I think we ought to be prudent and approach this in a systematic way. I would like to see us refer this to the Public Works Committee for them to develop a philosophy, policy, and a plan for the city as we move down the road instead of a helter-skelter type approach. Comment?
I guess I don't want to take anything away from Public Works, and I know they need probably to be more involved with everything that they are. My concern is that Linda is our go-to gal and in what will work here too. So I guess I've got two parts. Part, I don't want to overlook somebody that should be involved. Secondly, I know Linda is the source to know what would grow here with low maintenance, that we would be able to keep looking like it should, and it should grow every year. So I'm kind of torn between the two. I would also, I'm wondering if Public Works took it, how long would it take them to decide? What would we go through with that? Because if November is a planting time, then I'm one of these right now that I'm wanting to see some changes to beautify, to make it look pretty. But at the same time, I don't want to step on toes or take something away from someone else. So that's where I am, I guess.
Dave?
Didn't I hear you say, Linda, that it was March was a planning time?
What I would like to do is experiment. Mike and I talked about it, and they did some dry seeding in Alaska, where he's from, in November.
Okay.
And I said I would love to experiment with his in November and get ours all ready to go. Ground will probably still be frozen. And get this one in front of Bi-Mart seeded early March.
Yeah. Well,
and that's kind of an experiment, so we can see what works best for us.
Sure. You know, I guess I'm kind of like Kathy. I see the benefit of having a, you know, overall plan. I also know, I think we've had three studies on that stoplight on First and Reed that has been going on for 10 or 15 years, and every first grader knows we need a light there. I don't want to do that to the landscaping. And so, you know, it makes me wonder if there's a way we can encourage our volunteers and our groups that want to do something for the city, and at the same time start developing this plan like you're talking about, Kim. Because wildflowers are not a huge investment. I mean, these are being donated. If we were considerate about, really the only infrastructure that's going in is the irrigation system in front of Bi-Mart, I think. So very likely that part could be utilized even if we came up with some other system, all grass or sod or something. Or maybe it could be modified without too much, you know, cost. The thing that I, as a small town, one of the biggest advantages that I think we have as a small town city is we should be able to be very agile and flexible and able to respond to opportunity. We're not stuck in something like Bend or Salem where we have to go through lots of hoops to do something. And yet, I agree with Ken, we should have a plan because you don't want to have things that are not... yeah, and you know, I've seen situations where somebody puts in something and all of a sudden they didn't know that a sewer line was going to be coming down through the same area and it gets all ripped out. You know, that's... Or a new street gets paved and before you know it, it's ripped up for something, you know. And that's sad. So... I don't know if there's a way we could expedite, because I don't want Linda to lose her enthusiasm.
I don't think that's possible.
I might say, though, Dan, in saying something to go through there, the thing about wildflowers is they're very forgiving.
Yeah.
If you have to run a line through there, all you're doing is spreading the seed. And if someone buys that property to the front of Bi-Mart, they decide they'd have to come before the council to take it out. We have to be careful of blocking the signs, there that are put up for the crosswalk. That's why they're not going to be able to come in and put big trees, and I pick, you know, just a few of the smaller trees. But you don't like the wildflowers, a couple of years down the road, you go in with a weed killer and it's gone. Yes, you have the investment of the water, but you're not going to leave that in dirt forever. It is awful, and I think we need to do something about it. So wildflowers would be a very good start, and a very forgiving start if some line had to go through there.
And perhaps the enthusiasm this would generate might draw folks that either would want to do it themselves or be part of an overall plan too. It might be a catalyst that would actually get us off center. It's hard to know where to start with something like this because there's so much need.
Well, if I can, Don, did you have anything to say?
Go ahead and announce.
Okay, I think that we're looking at March, you know, and I think there's plenty of time for us to think more about this, to let the community know about it, and then to actually make a decision. I just think that we're not going to lose any ground by sending this over to the Public Works Committee, letting them look at it, letting them do some planning or some philosophy planning and or policy and planning, and still have plenty of time to come back and address this as a way to deal with landscape and to spend the city's money.
If I may, if...
Linda, you know, I'd really like to finish the council's discussion of this, please. There'll be more later. Don?
My feeling is that I think we ought to proceed with this now. And the reason I feel that way is because we have nothing out there. It really looks bare when you drive by. We can go ahead and turn it over to the Public Works Department and say, hey, this is temporary. If down the road we come up with a plan, it can all go away. It's not that big of an expense. But in the meantime, it shows the public in this town that we're trying to do something. We're trying to develop the town and make it look attractive. And if it's going to increase, as our city manager said, a 5% even increase in business, or 10%, I'm sure that we're not going to have very many of our community businesses object to something like that. So I personally would like to see it go forward and then develop a long-range plan, and if necessary, it's not costing us that much, we can tear it out and put in whatever they come up with that's agreed by the council.
Anything else, Kevin?
No, I guess I was thinking the money is going, how much time is going to be involved with us, basically, the city?
Not a lot.
Okay.
Let me speak to the time element. I think Scott would have to go out and he'd have to put the meter in. Scott would have to put the meter in. And that would be about it. Could oversee the irrigation. Pam would put the irrigation in. We would oversee it. I don't think Pam needs a lot of direction how to put that in. And then annually, we'd have to go out, maybe weed whack it or something. I'm not seeing a lot of, you know. And again, that's why I was thinking this. We don't have a lot of money. I really want us to start doing some things that look like we're physically doing something. And I just thought this, I got to tell you, if you go see the wildflowers there at the amphitheater, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And I thought, well, why not bring that beauty here? So that was it. I won't see a lot of time, 5 to 10 hours of our time. I thought if it was a big deal, I sure as heck wouldn't be raising my hand and saying we should be doing this because I've got plenty of other stuff on my plate.
Yeah, I mean, I would go along with the consensus. I think Steve does have his hands full. and I think about, you know, the idea of developing a long-range plan, and that's going to take time too, but I do think it's time for maybe Public Works or some committee, some group to start. We're looking at that. So I think that should, I think that we should get going on it. Again, I hate for that even to start getting into Steve's priorities, but I think that we have enough public, other people that are willing to kick in, that it's a good partnership, collaboration kind of thing. It wouldn't take much from us. But I do agree with you that, you know, when we can, we need to get ahead of the curve and not always be coming from behind. So, but I would go along with the consensus that we support the project.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we go on record as supporting the project and put forth whatever money is necessary.
I'll second that. And I have a question.
Okay, question?
So the question would be to Steve, I guess. $3,000, do we have found a budget that we can pull that from?
Yes, we do. We have a Public Works budget that has $70,000 in it, and just because it has that money in it doesn't mean I think we ought to just giddily go spend it. But it is month three of our budget, and we haven't spent any, so if we spend $3,000 of it, we're not doing very much harm to it. I would, if you are looking to a I don't disagree with the mayor that we should have a plan. Okay. But I think probably the park and recreation group that we have would probably be the better place to put it than the Public Works. I mean, there is a Public Works element to it, but, you know, typically landscaping is a land use matter. And, you know, we do have a land use committee, so maybe they should look at it. Either one. Okay. Or maybe we give it to both of them and they come up with two plans.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It just, as you were speaking, made me wonder if have we not already addressed any of this in our land use planning?
We've spoken to the need for landscape.
Okay. But not specific.
But not. And the other thing is that the business community, you know, it's going to cost. I just got to tell you, and the mayor knows this more than anybody because he was in the landscape business. It costs a lot for trees, and it costs a lot for bushes, and it costs a lot for grass. And I'm hearing by contrast that it doesn't cost a lot for wildflowers. And I got to tell you, if wildflowers can look as beautiful as the ones in front of the amphitheater for just pennies on the dollar, and we can get the same kind of return as we've, you know, you need to put in 15 trees and 12 bushes, we got to explore that. Not only that, but water is really going to be an issue in our community because we don't have a lot of it. And so I'm looking for something that's low maintenance, beautiful, doesn't take a lot of water. I think these wildflowers take a lot of water. I don't think they do, do they?
No.
Okay. Yes, sir. That's it.
And who's paying the water bill? City?
See, anytime we go putting water in, and we pay the water bill. That's correct. So keep that in mind, there'll be a water fee associated. But it's our property, too. We have to keep in mind that we, as stewards of public lands, you know, have to step up to the plate. Just like when we put in the landscaping out here, we'll have to pay for that too.
Are we sure that all of that property from the sidewalk edge to the street is ours?
Yeah, the first thing I did was go to the county and have them advise me because I thought that it was county land and that we'd need a permit in order to do this. And I've got an email back from George, I'm glad to share it, says that it's our land, what we do on it is our business. And it's our land, because it's in the city, and also because we have an easement across it for all of it. Okay? And perpetual easement. And that's because we have water land. Okay? So, twofold, it's our land.
Entertain a motion to all those in favor? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Record reflect that the motion was approved. We are at, what?
May I make a comment?
Okay.
What we had thought about at the chamber is we will get some weeds popping up in different places, and we thought it might be with the business community or Yaya Sisters, there's a lot of organizations out there, that maybe they could take on a project like that and at the end of the year do something, a little award, your plot look good, so that the city doesn't have to take on maintenance. Obviously, there's going to be some knapweed springing up because the seed is in the ground. So I think it would be another way if we could get some other organizations to come in and volunteer to take care of a plot.
And you're going to head that up?
I am.
Thank you.
The chamber will.
Budget update. Staff will provide current budget numbers for the council's review.
You were going to provide them.
They have all their financial statements before
okay.
them.
All right.
And?
Can I mention something first? I went through the financials, and I have tried to bring out the idea that in the past, and I'll say last year and up until our new city manager came on board, we got a financial statement that showed the percentage of monies spent in comparison to the budget. So we could look, and we went down through each line item and looked at that and could tell that X amount of percentage of what had been budgeted had been spent. And that was a very useful tool to the council because it gave you a clear, quick idea of here we are in the third quarter or the second quarter or some period of time of what, how much money we had,
okay.
had spent.
It's a matter of asking it for a different parameter.
Okay, so I think what I hear you saying, Mayor, is you appreciate all this stuff, but there's just too much here and it doesn't get you where you need to go, and really what you'd like to see is each of our different funds, how much money was allocated in the fund, how much we've expended in the fund as of today, what percentage of the total in each fund have we expended. Okay.
Yes.
And I think we can provide that a couple different ways. We can
yeah.
provide it as a numerical thing, or we can show it as a graph, or both.
Okay. Percentage.
Mm-hmm. I think we've always had it as a numerical. I don't see any reason of having it two ways the first time and then deciding which is most useful to us. I like the percentage number that tells me it's 67%, and we've got, you know, 9 months to go, or we've only got 2 months to go, and that fashion. So
why don't we just, if we, that's a real quick thing. We won't wait till the next meeting. We'll just get it to you, but we'll provide it also at the general meeting on the 26th. Okay.
Council? Don?
I feel that that's the way we should have it. We had it that way before. That's
right.
Very helpful.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Consensus, Council, that that's what we'd like to have.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's too much.
Item number 9, approval of Rick Allen's employment agreement, whereby his employment is continued for a 2-month period until November the 12th, 2012, to address certain activities that require his expertise. It is envisioned this employment agreement would be substituted with a personal services contract at the end of the 2-month period, whereby Mr. Allen would provide services from time to time as the need arose. And if you've got some comments, it'll help.
No, it's just real straightforward.
Okay.
We have particularly two items that Rick has been working on for a number of months that haven't, for whatever reason, we're just still not there. One has been the land use matters, and now the land use matters are going to be reconciled here hopefully next week, knock on some wood. Okay. But also the USDA loan. The loan transfer is very important. Rick knows all the players and the background. It would be helpful just to have him on board to help facilitate that. And then also the two-month agreement is constructed, so if there's other items that need attention during that time period that can use his expertise, that we would rely on for that too. And it's a rate of $50 an hour, not to exceed 20 hours a week, and that we would pay for his gas to and fro. But I suspect a lot of this he'll just take care of from his office, okay? And then the goal would be to put out a request for proposal for services, and certainly Rick would be a contender for that. The reason we have to go out for bid is it's more than I would envision that his services will be more than $5,000 over the course of time. And the bidding procedure process here in Oregon says if you're going to expend more than $5,000 or foresee, then you have to go out for a competitive bid. So that's what we have to do. But, you know, again, those who bid, you folks decide who the bidders are.
Okay.
All right.
Were there any changes to this from the previous one? From his previous agreement?
No, we actually took his original agreement and relied upon that as a template.
Okay.
And then he looked it over and said he was real fine with it.
Okay.
Okay, so it's what you had before you, and he's fine with it. Okay. Sir.
Question on the bid. Do we have to go for bid on this?
Not on this. No, this is because we have an employment contract with him now.
Yes.
Okay, so he will continue as an employee.
Right.
Okay, and the question is, does he continue as an employee forever, or is there a time certain when you don't need his services anymore as an employee? Or whether you need his services as an independent contractor.
Correct.
So we're just saying probably now is the time for the transition. Let's just continue his employment contract for now.
Right.
Finish up what we know we need him for, but dollars to donuts, we're going to need him in the future. And the way to have him in the future is to have a contract
services.
With him. So I just call him on the telly and say, you know,
okay,
we need you.
Good. Okay.
Okay.
Don?
No, I've read.
Kevin?
Okay.
The only concern I have around it is this item 2 of Schedule 1.2 at the back. I think that's wishful thinking that we're going to get that done in 2 months.
Again, it could take 2 years.
Yes.
And so you just keep him on as an employee for 2 years for one item that you know of with certainty, or do you say there's no reason that he is an independent contractor, couldn't continue that, get inquiry. But I also want you people thinking yes, USDA loan will happen tomorrow. I want us to be thinking positive. Okay. Now, I did talk to Pam Squires day before yesterday, and I reminded her that Pine was the center of the universe and that we needed her attention, and she was going to call her attorney again. And she said that she just learned something the other day about her two attorneys, and that is that they cover all the area, because they're federal government, from Guam to the Midwest, from Alaska down to New Mexico. So roughly a third of the world that those two attorneys are obligated to address all USDA things. So she said that's one of the reasons it's going slow. I go, well, that ain't a reason with us. We're the center of the universe.
Okay, thank you. I would entertain a motion to adopt the approval of this extension of Rick Allen's employment agreement.
So moved.
I'll second.
We moved and seconded to adopt the extension of Rick Allen's employment agreement. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes reflect that, they let the record reflect that the ayes have it. Approval of an Edward Jones lease agreement. This action will continue the Edward Jones lease agreement for use of a portion of City Hall for a five-year period with the opportunity to continue the lease thereafter for an additional five-year period with this extended time frame subject to one-year time review. Staff is seeking approval of this agreement with a provision that, if approved, staff is directed to further negotiate the agreement term to the extent that action is required.
Mr. Mayor, council members, we purchased this building here in the first part of 2011. And as part of that, we also acquired with that a lease arrangement with Edward Jones, who has this portion of the building over here. And they had entered into an agreement with the previous owner, a five-year contract, that they, for a certain amount of money each month, would be able to utilize this certain space over here. And it was to be tied to the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, that it would increase each year incrementally according to that price index. Initially, the rental rate was $11.25 per month. Okay, and it should have gone up with the CPA. But as we came to find out when we looked at the agreement, because they called to our attention that the 5 years was up, and that also there was a provision for another 5 years within it, and we said, okay, well, we'll start the negotiation process. But then we looked at what had happened previously, and the previous owner had not kept up with the CPI, and neither had Edward Jones. They done it the first year, but they were just still paying the 2008. So what we've done, Jeremy Green, our attorney, and myself, is we're in the process of trying to complete this negotiation, and we're saying that from the time we purchased it until now, they needed to pay us the adjusted rate for the CPI. So we're asking them for an additional $2,800 as part of the renegotiation, because we think they owe us that amount of money. We don't think we've got any obligation to go back on the previous owner and try and collect money on their behalf. But certainly, since we have it, they should pay what the contract said they would pay. And then we have, and then we've got a 3% increase crafted in it, and any number of things, but how it reads now is that they would be afforded another 5 years, and then thereafter another 5 years, but at 1 year increments. And the reason for that is maybe after 5 years, we need that space over there. And so we just don't automatically say, well, you got another 5 years and we have to wait 5 years. We'd only have to wait 1 year. So that's kind of where it stands now. We're trying to get it off our plate, and just so it's before you see it here, and it's just really your call whether you you want to proceed forth with it this time.
Any questions? Dan?
I have a question. Was the unpaid base rent that was calculated, is that based on the difference between, okay, you said that the rate hadn't, they had not increased their pay during the time of the previous owner.
Since June of 2008, right. It was frozen. They were still paying this,
right.
According to the CPI, the June 2008 rate.
Right.
And we said, hold the phone, Jones, this is 2011, and it's gone incrementally this amount since then.
Right.
And we want to capture the last year's worth of increment increase.
Okay. I just didn't know if we were going all the way from the base to that,
no,
or just the last, okay.
No, we're using the base to know how much they owe us for the last year, but
right.
We're going according to the increment where they should have been.
Right.
And I gave them the figures today. I said, if you doubt my calculations, here's the basis for them. Absent that, you owe us $2,800.
So that $2,800 represents that incremental growth in what they would have paid if...
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we just think it's right for, I mean, that's what the contract said. Seems to me if they agreed to that and we're not collecting it just because they're not paying it, shame on us.
So there's about 14 months, it looks like.
Well, it was. I mean, if we wanted to push our luck, I could have gone from March sometime to June 30th this year. And I said, I'll just go back and craft the last 12 months. I'll go, instead of from March something, I'll just start June 1st of 2011 and capture to 2012. But conceivably, we could go back, and if you want me to, get another 3 months worth.
So the 14 months, I mean, that's about $200 a month.
Uh-huh.
Differential, between what they were paying and what they would have been paying had it accelerated all the way. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We thought that was enough to go after.
So they must have, that must have been at that rate for a long time.
It was, again, since June of 2008, they had not paid any. And in the meantime, the CPI during that time went 3.5% 1 year, 5% another year, 8% another, 10 another, and none of those got captured.
Okay, well, that was my real question. Mm-hmm. Were we basing it on the CPI during all those years, or just during the time when we actually were the owners?
Well, only during our time, but how far up did the CPI go by the time we got it, and what was that relative to what they should have paid?
Okay,
so the difference between 2008 and 2011 worth of CPI difference times 12 months was what I went captured.
Okay, so that was my question
from
the beginning. And so what I really think is more fair is that we base it on the CPI. When we took it over, we knew we were getting whatever that was, he was paying.
Yeah.
And so I think it should only be based on the CPI differential in the time period in which we actually owned the property.
And that's it. That's all I was looking at.
So $200 a month went up?
Yeah.
The math doesn't work for me, because on page 2 here, shows a $200 differential over a 5-year period.
Okay, well, let me put it to you this way. If the CPI was 0, and in year 4 it was 75, then I started with 75, because that's how much it had gone up, and said, okay, what's the difference between 0 and 75,
right.
But only for that 1 year?
But I think it's only fair for us to have the right to increase it by the amount of CPI during the time period when we own the property.
And
you can't go back and
no, didn't, and I didn't. I promise you, I just looked at where the CPI was at 75 in 2011. Okay, let's say, as opposed to 0 in
2000. 0.75.
Okay,
is that right?
Well, it's a number, right?
It hasn't been much, I know that.
Well, I'll show you my math, okay, because I sent my math today. But I just, wherever it was, let's say that let's put it this way. In 2008, they were paying us $1,100 $1,581 roughly. Okay, and that's where the CPI was. But as it adjusted over the next 2 or 3 years, it really should have been up here around $1,400. Okay, that's what they would have normally been paying, but they were still paying this $1,181. And I said, okay, well, the difference between $1,181 and $1,400 is roughly $200 a month. Okay.
So you accumulated these CPIs over all those years?
Yes, I did.
And see, I feel like we should only track it based on the CPI differential when we actually were the landlord.
Well, again, the contract says that all these years, I'm just following the contract. Contract doesn't say what you would suggest. You can suggest that. But what the contract says is that each year, incrementally, as it increases, we will pay that much more. So in year four, they should be paying years forward. And if I hear you correctly, you're just saying, well, they should just pay a little bit more than what they were paying.
Well, whatever the CPI was, because we knew what they were paying. We knew that we were getting $1,150, whatever it was. And so the difference on that, I don't think it's fair. I mean, I think that is somebody else's business that last 4 years or whatever it was, but that last year is all that we really have our rights to.
Yeah, well, I'd have you look at my math, okay? And my math is, you know, Lori did it her way, I did it my way. We came up with the same number because we're using the CPI and how much it adjusted.
Yeah.
Okay, and you know, and again, I'm not trying to take any more money away from them than what, but I'm saying if there's an agreement, you should pay what the agreement says.
Yeah, the agreement just said that you start at a base of 2008, you take the CPI according to what the contract says as far as the consumer goods from 2007.
I understand all that.
Yeah, so the incremental increases would get you where we both got using math or Excel. So
but but what I'm saying is, they're prepared in their business budgeting for that CPI. I mean, I know they didn't do it, but they're prepared for that year over year. They're not prepared to catch it all up in 1 year. I just don't think that's fair.
Well, again, I'm saying this, and that is, we're essentially forgiving them 4 years worth of where they should have been paying.
Well, we're not forgiving them. Somebody else is.
Well, they're being forgiven, and we're not looking at that. And so I'm saying, you know, ask them to pay $2,800 in addition to what they would have paid. They would have paid this anyway had anybody kept track of it. And so because nobody kept track of it, they're forgiven 4 years, and we're just saying, I don't think the city, from a fiduciary position, should forgive. Okay? Now, if you want to forgive, you're welcome to forgive. Okay?
Kathy? Comments?
I guess I'm still thinking about it. I hear what Dan's saying, and if they've expected to pay that, I guess I'm falling in with Steve that they have been forgiven the 4 years, and this is a lesser amount. If they've expected to pay it, I don't know why either of them or us didn't see it, but we didn't. But I guess I go along with what Steve's saying, the 2,000.
Don?
My opinion is if I have a contract with somebody, I have to pay whatever's on that contract. And it's my opinion that they should be held to the contract. That's what they agreed to. That's what they should be prepared to pay. And it's not our responsibility to go back to the previous owner and tell him, hey, you didn't collect all this. All we're trying to collect is just a portion during the time that we own the property, and I think that's just collection effort.
And one more thing. What we're really doing is we're collecting back rent and the CPI. And that's what we're really doing. Based on the difference between what they should have paid if they were on scale. So we're collecting the difference. We're not doing a CPI based on what they were paying when we bought it. We're doing a differential of where they would have been paying, and we're catching up those back months with each each one. So we're collectively catching up 14 months of payment plus the little bit of CPI that's there.
Just 12 months of the 14. I didn't go back and grab up the 14. I just said, I'll just take a year's worth.
Well, here it says July 1st through August 31st.
That's 1 year.
That's 14 months.
Well, then I screwed up. It should be June 30th through July 1st. Does it say different than that?
It says July 1st through August 31st.
Yeah, July 1st through August
31st. Oh, okay, I think what we're doing is, oh, you're right. It originally was gonna be July 1st to June 30th, but we're into August now. And so you're right, we're catching that up. But we actually got it in March. So I didn't go all the way back to March, I just went back to June, okay?
Okay, well, it's fine. I just think, I know we're entitled to it. I just think in fair play, you know, I don't know if our local business renter, you know, I don't know if he pays it or his company pays it, I don't know, but I just think it's onerous to hit somebody with almost a $3,000 bill when they're not expecting it. We bought it, and we didn't say anything when we bought it. I think we had a duty to have our attorney catch that up when we purchased it and get them on track then and notify them that, hey, you're behind. I think all we're entitled to is a CPI differential, not the back rent that we weren't charging. I mean, maybe we don't have to, but I think in good play, we're to be given a helping hand, not a heavy hand on stuff like this.
No, I understand, you know, but again, from a negotiating point of view, I don't want to belabor this, but if we don't pull them up to where we want them, I'm fearful of two things. One, I'm fearful that they're going to try and defend, well, you only bumped up a little bit, you forgave us on the CPA, so we really don't want to pay what you're asking us to pay now. We want to pay less because, you know, you opened the door for a negotiation for less. And then the other thing is that if we don't hold them accountable for the contract agreement now, we're going to deal with them for another 5 years. And I want them to know the message from this organization is, if you agree to something, we're going to hold you accountable to it. Not mean spirited, but just in the sake of business, that's how we do business.
Okay. Right. I wouldn't want to do business that way, but it's okay.
No,
that's what you guys want to do.
Any further comments? Okay. Entertain a motion to approve recommendation of approval of the Edward Jones lease agreement as stipulated in item 10.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make the motion that we approve this agreement.
I second it.
Been moved and seconded to approve the agreement. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Let the record reflect that there's two ayes and one no. Request for Lapine High School for $300 to accommodate their football program. We approved this last year, and it was somewhat related to the homecoming game, but it was related to the football program.
Mr. Mayor and council members, we had this at the work session, what I gathered from it is that you did want to put it forward for an action item. It's really up to you. You want to spend that kind of money. We do have some money in the budget, and we've set $2,000 aside for these kinds of items. Am I correct, Lori?
We have $2,000 of discretionary counselor decision-making in the budget.
Okay, and this would come from one of our discretionary funds. So 300 relative to a quarter of the way through our budget of 2,000 discretionary, you're in good stead. Okay.
Any comments?
No.
Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the request for $300 for the football program.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we approve the $300 expenditure.
I second.
Moved and seconded to approve $300 to the high school football program. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Record reflect that it's unanimously approved. Request from League of Oregon Cities for a donation. The League is requesting an unspecified amount to support their programs.
Mr. Mayor and council members, this was another item before you at the working session. And what staff gathered from it was you had an interest, you didn't have any specified amount, but you certainly wanted to bring it back and discuss further. Certainly the Lake of Oregon cities does a lot of things for all of the municipalities in Coastal Mine. And so you certainly would be it's a worthwhile effort, let's put it that way.
Comments?
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a comment.
Okay.
Not only League of Oregon Cities, but COIC is supported by donations from the different cities in our area. And so far, COIC has forgiven us, and we have not paid anything. And we're the only city represented at COIC, to my knowledge, that don't pay something.
Okay, thank you, Don. I'd also like to make a comment, if I may, that you know, this donation program directly represents or is contributes to the scholarships for those cities that attend LOC.
There you go.
There's 100 of them, and that. As a comment I made at the work session was that, you know, they paid for my first trip to the LOC, and that was well over $300. And I'm not sure, but I'm thinking we applied for another scholarship for, and it only goes to first-time attendees, and we've applied for another scholarship for our Councilor Agin. So I would recommend that. So you need to pick a number.
Under a million.
Could I ask where the money would come from?
Thank you, Don.
We do have a discretionary fund. There's $2,000 in it.
Less 300.
That's certainly one bucket of money. If that bucket of money expires, then we can look at other buckets of money.
Wasn't there something in the budget, I'd have to go back and look, but I thought there was something for joining organizations or something like that. Is there any money left in that budget?
There is in your budget.
There is in my budget. We want to raise my budget. But you know, if you raise my budget, then I'm probably going to want to raise one of your budgets.
I thought there was something in there that for the city itself to...
The city does a very good job of rat holding a little bit of money here and there everywhere, okay? So you are fine if you pick a number and it's under a million.
Okay, so if we pick a number, that's going to come out of the discretionary budget, so we burn a bunch of it tonight, right?
Right, and then we would look at another budget thereafter. When we exhaust a budget, there's nothing that says that we can't move monies around if we need to move monies around for good, worthwhile causes, all right?
And I'd like to add that I think when we get this new document, and we used that before when we made decisions about spending money, was how much we actually saw. It was only on three or four different sheets, and we were able to go right through it quickly and find the money and actually fully understand where the money would come from. So I think it's a very valuable tool that will help us in the future. And I think you're right, we've got the money.
And I'll just say this, you folks have been very prudent so far this budget season with expenditures.
I just wanted to make it clear, I'm not opposed to it, I just wanted to know where the money
is. I agree, I appreciate that. Okay. Councilor Barco.
So I guess I would ask one more question. When we were talking at the, we were discussing this before at the work session, and it seemed to me like we were like $500 to $1,000 or something. Is that what people remember?
It's what I remember.
So yeah, I would make a motion that we donate $750 to LLC for this year.
Okay.
And I'd like to play a bigger share, but my motion would be $750.
I'll second the motion.
Motion and seconded to donate $750 to the League of Oregon Cities. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
That's the complete package.
Discussion of possible action regarding collaborative efforts on the part of the city and Lapine Park and Rec District to improve Findlay Butte Park.
Mr. Mayor and council members, we presented the park and rec, well, we took over the sewer and the water district July 1st. And as part of our providing for all the requirements associated with being in the sewer and water business, we sent out a bill to the water district for, I want to say, $500 or $600. And they came back with sticker shock and said, you know, we've been paying $54. And so we went back and we reviewed our documents to see if there was some basis in fact for that, and there really wasn't. So they were pretty well, because we don't have a relief process, stuck with that bill. Meantime, to complement that, in September, we've sent them yet another bill for $400 or $500. And and this is for Findlay Butte Park. And the Park and Recreation District does not have a lot of money, nor do we. But in the spirit of trying to work with the Park and Recreation District and with the Chamber, and with the potentials that might arise from the development of that park, and there's discussions out there that there are sources who want to invest a lot of money in that park, but they need some assurances that there's a collaborative effort between the city and the Park and Recreation District. And so staff is suggesting for your consideration that we pay the water bill for Findlay Butte Park for the next 2 years. At the end of 2 years, then we can see what we do there. But for now, we would pay for the next 2 years. And then also there was a discussion that there might be, after they do an analysis, a need for a larger meter size. And of course, these larger meters are costly, somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000. And so really what I'm putting forth for your consideration today is, A, do you want to provide for their water costs and water obligations for the next 2 years? And do you want to also consider paying for the meter upgrade, if in fact there's a meter upgrade need? And I think staff's view is that you'll get a good return on this gesture if you move forward with it. Okay. And I'm glad to answer any questions you might have.
Don?
Total cost?
I would say I'm going to ballpark. You know, we're probably looking at water, and they don't need water, but, you know, a few months of the year. Probably $4,000 for water for 2 years, and the water meter is probably $5,000, so somewhere between $4,000 and $10,000 for the next 2 years.
Just per year?
Well, no, that's 2 years. So half of that, you know, roughly $4,500 a year for 2 years.
Well, my opinion is we have signs all over town that we support our youth, and I don't see any reason why we shouldn't go ahead with this.
Dan?
Comment? Yeah, I'm ready to make a motion.
Comment, Gabby?
He's gone.
I would like to... This includes the fact that they continue to pay their basic water bill?
Well, I want to throw it out two ways to you. They were paying $54 a month, which is our base fee, all this time, even though they should have been paying the $400 or $500. And in my mind, they should pay the base fee of $54. But that's really your call, whether you want them to pay full, you want to assume the full burden, or do you want to ask them to pay, because if the other parks are paying $54 a month, and so we would just be consistent with what we're doing elsewhere. You know, my other fear is that I don't want anybody in our community to think that we're paying full freight for something. And I just think that if they don't have to pay a little stipend, it's going to be viewed as, well, we're paying full freight. And my fear there is then that the folks in our community will do one of two things. They'll resist payment. They'll say, well, they got it for free. Why don't I get it for free? Or they'll be lining up and saying, well, we should get the same kind of deal. And our job is tough enough without playing mommy daddy all day. And that's what we get into if we get too liberal with our positions. We get into a position where it's mommy daddy. Okay. And again, my opinion, and $3 will buy you a cup of coffee.
Well, I think we should support them, and I think if they pay that, the base fee, I think that's appropriate also. And if we can pick that up for 2 years for them, I'm in favor of that.
One more comment. I'd like to see this, because anything can happen in 2 years, and I think that moving forward, I think it's very appropriate. I think this is something we ought to do. I'd like to see it renewed after 1 year, or revisited after 1 year. And I agree that, you know, in a partnership, there's two, you know, there's an aspect to a partnership. Each person contributes in a partnership, and it takes two to make a partnership. I think by paying the $54 is well described by the city manager, and is more than reasonable. So, but I would encourage the council to approve it with a review, eligibility to review it 1 year. Don?
I'll make a motion that we follow through with this agreement and do everything, and ask for the $54 a month payment monthly for the water, but we'll stand for everything else.
There's a motion to approve as described.
And that was the one review in a year or 2 years?
I didn't put in a review, just flat two years is what I said.
Dan's got a question.
Well, we're waiting for a second.
You can have a second so we can discuss it.
Okay, I'll second it.
Discussion?
So, why do we not partner longer than 2 years? I don't understand the short-term arrangement. It seems to me that this is a public benefit. We have private partners, apparently. I already know we have other private partners that are contributing. Parks and Rec has a big responsibility there. I would prefer to see us, we can review it annually, but I keep it going as long as the use is as it, you know, for public park facilities.
I personally think that 2 years is very prudent. It's a point in time that, you know.
You can, at the end of 2 years, you can just say, this is great and we want to do it another 2 years or 5 years or
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
But until you have a feel for, you know, again, my caution always is we don't have a lot of money in the piggy bank, and I don't want us to be overly generous without knowing some sort of certainty of outcome. There's all these possibilities of participation, which I think are exciting, and I think we need to step up the plate and demonstrate to these people that we are a player and we will help out, and we may even help out more. But I think in the same breath, we want to just be careful with our piggy bank.
Okay? Mr. Mayor, I think with all of the things that we've heard about the possibility of improvement at that park, we need to do whatever we can to support the donations that might come from out of this community to improve that park. And I think it's very important that we approve it, and if it's necessary, 2 years from now, and we find out that those improvements didn't appear, we can revisit it and make changes in it. But I think 2 years is a good time.
Further comment? Okay. All those in favor of the motion is made?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, item 14 is financial manager will provide the city healthcare options.
Mr. Mayor, I'll turn this over to Lori. I think you'll like what you hear, but I won't steal her thunder.
Well, the good news is that we've got the best plan around. I contacted Lapine Insurance Center, talked with them. We went out, looked at some other plans available, ODS and Pacific Source. And if you just look at the bottom line on a three-page handout I gave you, where it says insurance comparison study at the top of each page, you'll see that ours is on the very beginning. Right now we have co-plan A. I've provided you with two options, which provide a deductible for $250 or the $500 with the premiums. And if you look across, it'll say employee, employee with child, so on and so forth. Comparing that with the other two companies, we are by far the cheapest. Can't even touch the $250 one. And these were compared at the $500 deductible level, just to give you an idea of what is out there. We're still the best. These are basically, you have to choose the policy, you have to choose the dental, the vision, and the RX, and all of these other two. Whereas in ours, they're all wrapped up together. So I believe from comparing these on a personal level and knowing a little bit about insurance, not a whole lot, that we really do have a good policy. Now, the question comes before you about raising the ceiling from 800 to 1,000. I've also given you some other information that has been previously provided to you. The one that says the city annual cost comparison health benefits show what the district came over, what they were getting, and what the city provided. On that, you'll see that Scott, Ashley, Jacob, and Johnny had all of their premiums paid for from the district. That was reduced, and we provided them with our insurance because that's the way it is. We provide the benefits. However, because of the fact that not only do we offer another type of insurance, but two of their employees that came over are unable to provide their family with adequate coverage because of the cost. The $800 does not even come close to covering a family and an employee in this situation. So because of that, they've opted to only cover themselves. So their children and their wife, their spouse, are walking around without insurance. One incident will crush them. It's very expensive for health insurance. The rest of us are covered under the $800 ceiling, so we're okay. And Stephen even has insurance now on himself. So this is a little outdated, but it just proves that, you know, we are taking our health insurance seriously. The other factor that has caused two of the people that work for us not to be able to afford family health insurance is because of the fact that we took the on-call from $200 to $50. That was a huge hit. They got hit twice. They got hit twice because they got reduced there and they got reduced on their health insurance. So what I'm asking you is to consider raising the level to $1,000 per person and possibly even reducing the cost of the insurance to go to the $500 deductible. That will at least give us more of an equal footing, getting, you know, compensating in both ways, giving and taking here. We go down in premium and come up with the ceiling.
Thank you. First off, I want to make a very plain statement, is that I do not believe that we ought to be dealing with these issues right now, because these employees are union people. We do not have a labor attorney at this time to advise us in the processes of moving forward in any kind of changes to their benefits, which will at some point in time come before us as labor negotiations. I think that we ought to table this whole thing until we get a labor attorney on board that we can deal with this thing with straightforward advice from somebody that knows what they're talking about and has a full understanding, as I'm sure that we don't, in how labor negotiations are carried out and to what extent we can change things, or we should change things.
Now a comment.
I don't think we have...
I'm sorry. There'll be a comment period later. Thank you. Comments?
I guess I'm not sure that it would be appropriate for Jeremy to look at it, but has he...
They're not a labor attorney.
No, I know they're not, yeah. But overall...
Well, I agree with you. It makes me nervous to make any move that might, you know, impact that, because it's kind of an unknown territory to me. I do have a question, though. Do employees have the right to adjust their deductible and adjust their deductible up? They don't.
No, it's one plan. Everybody gets the same plan. We're not. We don't have enough employees to provide different plans and be able to choose from that. Unfortunately,
so everybody has the same deductible right now.
That's correct.
Mr. Mayor, it really bothers me to have an attorney that's married and has a family and not be able to provide insurance coverage for his family. And you know, it only takes one accident from one of the kids or something, or one illness for one of the adults, and it can wipe that employee out. And you know, it really bothers me if $200 is going to make the difference between one of our employees that's a hard-working employee, and all of them that I have come in contract with since they've come on board are hard-working employees, and they seem to be very knowledgeable in what they do, and they seem to be very cooperative and very polite with all of the dealings I've had. And you know, I would certainly hate to see one of them really go down the tube because we failed to provide $200 a month for their insurance.
Well, if I could comment again to the fact that, you know, as we talked about this in the planning session, and, you know, we don't have any control over how employees apportion their monies. I mean, we're providing a plan that allows them to make the best choices that they're able to make. But on the whole, I think this is an issue that we can delay until we get a labor attorney aboard, which should not be very far in the future, and then address it at that time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I would entertain a motion that we table this until we have a labor attorney on board.
I'll make that motion.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Comments?
Mr. Mayor, I think we need to put a time limit on this. I don't think it should drag on for months and months and months. If I think that this should be discussed at our next work session, which is in 2 weeks, and I think everybody should be appraised as much as we can from staff as to the advantages that this is going to be for our employees and the morale that we get from our employees.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Let the record reflect that two ayes and one no. Other matters, which I have added to the other matters, labor attorney discussion. And I'd ask the city manager to just sort of give us a little update on the proceedings of bringing a labor attorney aboard.
All right, just a moment here.
And you'll note that I passed out an email regarding the labor attorney, Bruce Bischoff, who has, we've worked with him pro bono before, and it described in there that he was willing to work pro bono as our labor attorney, which represents a lot of money. Stephen.
Okay. A couple things. I had Jeremy help me craft a request for, actually it's called solicitation for labor counsel, labor law counsel. And we structured what one would have to provide in order to respond. And we sent it out, and in return we got three responses back. We got one from Schwab, Williamson, and Wyatt, and we received one from Baron Liebman, and we received one from Stoll Reeves. And when we put the and we also I noticed you mentioned the name Bruce Bischoff. We solicited from him. We sent him a request for, we solicited his request for services, and we sent this to him and all the others, the five that we sent it to. And it said proposals must be received by the city on or before 3 p.m. on August 17, 2012. Proposals received after the deadline date may not be considered. So Mr. Bischoff had every opportunity within the time frame to submit an application for this service. Or he could have contacted us and said, you know, can you amend the timetable? We certainly would have entertained that. But because that's what we put out as a notice and that was the bid procedure process, we're pretty duty-bound to follow it. Now, you could, if you had some basis, say, you know, we're not satisfied with any of the three that have submitted applications and start the process over. We'd have to go back out again for a bidding procedure again. And I suppose that's your druthers. So I wanted to point that out. But where are we in the process? Well, I asked our attorney last week to sort of tell me how he would see the selection process go. And he said that he would craft some criteria that we could rely upon. And that's not to preclude the council and the mayor from adding more criteria. For instance, the mayor suggested today that you'd like to have interviews, you'd like to personally interview whoever as part of the selection criteria, and that would be within your prerogative. But if we're going to proceed with what we've done, then he would provide us some criteria. We would add to the criteria. I would review and provide your recommendation. Each of you, you have your own scoring sheets based on the criteria, and you do your own scoring. And then from that, then, and again, you could add an interview process. That's how you pick who you pick, all right? Now, maybe Bruce, I can only say that maybe he reconsidered his position since he made it available, or what? Because it just seems odd. On the one hand, he'd offer it up, and on the other hand, we'd send him an application and say, well, you know, have at it, and not receive anything back. But we're pretty duty-bound to follow bidding procedures that we have in place. You just can't say, oh, well, we're just going to go around it. So either you have to start over again, or you have to discount. But you got to do one or the other.
And we received three others.
We did. And I don't care. I mean, it's your call.
I think what interests or concerns me is the astronomical expense associated with labor attorneys.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I think we're going to have to go down this road, there's no doubt, and decide whether we want one of these three attorneys to represent us, and or not any of them. And I think one of our key areas should deal with how much they're going to charge. I mean, is it appropriate? We've received their responses.
We did. We've got it. Again, we said, okay, let me just share this with you. This is what it looked like. If you just kind of pass it down, try and make everybody copies of it, or maybe Patty can, but we ask you them to provide these various things about their abilities, their experience, their fee, their references, all that sort of stuff. So on each one of them, we got a little packet of information, because you know attorneys, they're not going to provide you one page. I mean, just their references alone are like 50 pages each.
Could I ask you, I assume that this gentleman is retired, this Bruce Bischoff, so I imagine he's sort of an older gentleman. Is that not correct, or does anybody
know? I don't
know
anything about him.
And another thing is, do we know whether his email here that's dated Monday, July 23rd, is still from Rick to Steve and Jeremy? Is his pro bono offer still in effect? Because according to this, he was kind of shot down by working with the group that was running the sewer and water department before. So I'm wondering, if we were to select this person, even though it's pro bono, and something would happen to him, we'd be falling back in the same place. There'd be nobody to pick up the pieces. We'd have to go out and bid for attorneys again. If we select one of these groups that you have submitted an application to us, there's probably several in that firm that if something would happen to the principal person that was acting for us, there'd be somebody ready to step in, I would assume. And that, to me, is something that we need to take into consideration.
I would say that he's not as old as I am.
You're just
that's not saying
much. Oh, bless your heart, Mark. Somebody give that guy money.
Look, may I make a suggestion? You know, you've started on the course of action. You've got three people that are eligible, or three firms. I would think you'd want to interview these firms, and if you thought that their costs were prohibitive, then you just toss them all out and start all over again. To me, that would be the better way to determine whether you want one of them or to get rid of them all and start over again, and then maybe do not just a letter to Mr. Bischoff, but actually, you know, drag him in here and talk to him and say, you know, is this offer still on the table? Okay.
I agree 100%, and that's where I went to a while ago with the fact that we're committed to this
kind
to this process,
yeah.
And then we get down to either voting for one of them or we go out and redo it. But I think I'd like to have the consent of council that that it would be reasonable and quick and effective that we would have the city manager make a telephone call to
and I could do that
to Mr. Bischoff. And find out if he got the application, if he still has this idea of doing that, and I think maybe an email back to the counselors would be sufficient to satisfy our curiosity. I know the gentleman somewhat, and I'm surprised that his application wasn't there, so I would appreciate that.
Yeah, let's just do that.
Council?
Yeah, sounds good.
Huh? I agree.
Okay.
Just to sort of follow up, and that was, we were planning to bring this thing to you formally at your workshop.
Right.
You know, the mayor kind of jumped ahead of me and said, you know, this is really important. We don't know where we are in this, and he's right. And the only reason I had it is because I was waiting for our attorney to craft the criteria that we would rely upon. But he's advised me that he'd have that already at the workshop. But also I've got some time before the workshop to contact this gentleman and find out what his druthers are, okay?
Sure. Okay.
Oh,
let me get to... we are back to public comment. Therefore, we will take public comment. Short?
No, I'm not short. Thank you very much.
Is not an issue about length of time for anybody. However,
I know, I'm worthy. Could I please get in writing so I can put it with my proposals as I work on the ball field project that the city is offering 2 years with a further look? Because that was one of the big criteria from my person, is that how are these fields going to be maintained? And I would appreciate that so I can include it in my proposals.
I think working with the city manager will accomplish that for you.
Okay, and I do want to thank you, because I think it's going to take 2 years before we really see some results being this late in the season. Thank you.
Additional public comment? Committee reports. Don?
I happen to have one. The City Council asked for some information from COIC about riders, and I think if you look in your packet, you'll find a for information packet that shows a list of riders in the back. For the month of June, I believe. In addition to that, at the CYC meeting last week, they announced the cutbacks that we're going to have. And you have a packet, in your packet, you have a for information FYI packet of information about the proposed cuts and the shortfall.
Is that this?
Yep, that's it. And it tells you in there the cost of the ride on page 4. And you'll notice that in the community areas in Lapine, the cost of each ride is $11.51. And the deficit in the area is $79,097. And it goes on down and tells you all the costs of all of them. If you go to the next page, you'll find the cuts that are going into effect, I believe next month. It's on page 5, and it's the top paragraph. And it tells you what cuts they're going to make and everything. The one thing, the amount of money that we proposed to them or gave to them is not going to be affected. The services that we approved were for extra time for people. The map that's with it is in here, and it shows that they're cutting down the area that they will service. And you'll notice that the area is now down to our 20-year plan. They won't go outside of that area, and they feel that the reason for that, if they go out to some of these outlying areas, one trip may take a half hour to go out, pick the person up, come back, and then take them home again. And while they're doing that, if they stay within the city boundaries and the proposed 20-year plan boundaries, they might be able to service two or three during that time. So those cuts are definitely going into effect, and I just wanted you to have the information that you asked for, and it can be brought out at our meeting that we're going to have. I'm not exactly sure when yet. It seems to me like we've had about 35 different dates approved. I guess it's down the 9th of October. And probably still there's going to be somebody who can't make it that night. In addition to that, where did I put those? There it is. The COIC meeting approved the large lot industrial program. The suggested rules are listed on their website. You can get in there and look it over. On September 27th, there's going to be a hearing on the large lot rules. So that'll be coming out and announced later on. Governor Kitzhaber announced that Oregon Wood Energy Cluster Development Program is something that he wants adopted. This is a program to develop biomass heating and power sources in communities where forestry restoration activities are in place. This will be a jump start program and an industrial project where the process of heat is needed, and it's designed to generate local jobs. And it's for smaller places, for instance, a school, a large school, a high school or something like that. If they put biomass in, they should have an area here where we can produce the wood products necessary for that. And in the transportation issue, when you go through that, you'll find that because Bend and Redmond are the principal areas of concern on the bus changes, that there are no changes in those two areas. And these have been, I want you to notice that these changes have been made without any input from the city of Lapine, because the city of Lapine has not had their meeting as of yet. That's my report, Mr. Mayor.
Don, for myself, I just want to tell you that this is exemplary. Excellent, and I think it covers everything that we'd all like to have known or like to know. I mean, you've got a schedule, you've got a map, you've got a whole staff report here. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, I aim to please.
I know you do. Uh, Kathy, anything you want to? Counselor's time will come in a minute. You can talk about Saturday, or you can talk about what you want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Dan, do you have anything you'd like to?
No, I do. I appreciate Don's report there, though. It is does kind of answer a few questions.
Yeah.
I had a question. I know we can talk about this later, but there was we talked about unique riders at and. Do we have unique riders in the Pine?
I'm kidding.
They're all unique.
They're all unique.
You'll notice that the majority of the riders in the Pine are not the connecting riders.
Yes.
The ones that ride to Bend. The majority of the riders in the Pine are to La Pine for services and business in La Pine.
Yeah, I noticed that. And they're not cutting that, apparently. They're just reducing the area.
That's right.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. I will. Any committee reports? I will be going tomorrow to the COAC meeting. They've got a pretty good schedule. Are you going?
Okay. No.
I'll be going tomorrow, and they have a pretty. Pretty extensive schedule. It's in Redmond from 3 to 5. And that's all I have. But staff comments at this time?
None other than if there's some information you folks need on anything. We're working on a good dozen contracts right now. But everything really, truly looks good. For our community, it does. I mean, people are generous here. We're starting to coalesce. I think that Huntington neighborhood cleanup that particularly the mayor and Kathy sponsored here this weekend was a great step. It's just a good place to be.
Okay, thank you. With that, we'll go to councilor's comments. Don, you got anything you want to talk about?
I was wondering if the city manager passed on the little thing that I saw this morning.
No, but I'm sure to share it with the particular party if you want me to. This goes back to a double dog dare.
I think it might be a good idea.
That we had this morning. I got to tell you, around here, double dog dares are very dangerous.
Thank you, Mayor.
Kathy?
I just want to thank the city for everything they did at Huntington Meadows. And it was, I think, a great success, a wonderful place to start. And hopefully we can continue the United Front. And as we go along, just more people in the neighborhood will begin to feel safe and come together and work together more. So I. We all just thank you very much.
Dan?
Well, I don't know. I don't think we've met since we had the Huntington crosswalk completed, but the timeliness of that was good. And thank you, Steve, for working with the county and the partners there to make that happen.
I appreciate it.
I think it probably is a safer thing. I also, it appears to me, just a few times I've been over there, the people are actually kind of slowing down a little bit in that area. So.
Well, just a couple things along that line. First, I've had to stop three times now for people that were using it, and I've had pleasure each time I've had to stop for them. And I think it does make the community safer, makes it safer for our children. I think it also demonstrates that the city is doing something for them. And we also put a school zone in there. That's what all those signs are. And then, as you see, the state has reviewed our request for a reduction in speed and has agreed to reduce the speed even further. And of course, that won't be accomplished by signage alone, but it'll give the law enforcement officers a basis for going out and monitoring the traffic and slowing it down a little bit. But I just think it's a win-win for the community. And I think, you know, you want to thank me, but I really want to thank you folks. It was your generosity that made that happen. And for all the right reasons, and that is protect our children and protect our seniors and everybody in between. Because an awful lot of people use that Bi-Mart. And that is just a major grazing corridor back and forth from the high school and a major corridor in general for people to traverse there. And yet that's a very dangerous place because of all the driveway entrances. So we've done a lot to improve the safety there, and we just need to keep it up.
I did notice something kind of humorous when I was, whenever I took some photos of the crosswalk, and while I was doing it, a gentleman comes out of the Bi-Mart parking lot with a wheelchair, one of those motorized wheelchairs, and cuts right across to the post office. I got him on film.
Is it my understanding that we appropriated $15,000 and it came in at under seven? I saw some emails flying that the low bid was...
Okay, I was trying to keep that from you. I was going to tell you it was $18,000 and I need you,
you needed 3,000 more
budget.
Well, no. You've already gone back east, so...
That's right. I don't think that, I don't think the city paid for that. it did. We put the bids out. George thought that it would probably come in around $10,000, and I think the low bidder was around $6,500. We still have to pay for those signs, so in addition to the crosswalk, there's going to be some cost for the signs, but we had earmarked $15,000 for that? And we're not going to spend anywhere near that amount of money for that project, which is nice. You know, it always feels good or tastes good when it's a lot less than what you anticipate.
I have a note. When will we see the change in the speed signs?
We can, as soon as, there's one last step, and that is we've received the confirmation that we can reduce that. We just simply have to write them a note saying that we agree with their assessment, and I'm going to assume that we do, and we'll probably do that this week yet.
Okay.
And then I think that gives license to George Cole, our county engineer, to go out as time allows and change those signs. But he's anticipating changing them, and the way it is structured is the 30 mile an hour zone will be extended northward past the senior center, because that area is, the traffic generally goes 40, 45 miles, 50 miles an hour through there right now. So it'll slow down from the senior center to Schutz Lodge. And then it'll make all of the rest of the roadway up to Burgess 45 miles an hour, okay? Which is still fast. I mean, people can clip along in a hurry, but not in such a hurry that they're right on your butt. And we're seeing a lot of that.
Well,
I see a lot of that. I come out of Crescent Creek, and first thing you know, before I even get up to speed, somebody zoomed around me and tried to run me off the road. This happens frequently.
That's right.
Yeah.
I told Steve Sunday coming home from church, I wish I'd have noticed if the person pulled out of the same church driveway I did, but we were coming down Huntington and he was right on my tail and I was watching my speed limit doing 45 to 50 in between. And then two fire trucks came down and I think he was so interested on pushing me that when I began to pull over, he just whipped around me and just was right there with those fire trucks. And then he just pulled right in front of me to, and I could just about see him fly out of his chair like, ah, you know. But they don't slow down, and he didn't see him coming until he was in their line of traffic. So I hope it works.
I think this will give our local safety services, the sheriff, opportunity to increase their budgets or their spending capacity.
That'd be a good place for them to pick up some extra money.
And by the way, the city manager has already asked the sheriff's department, and they've consented, as I recall, for their support in traffic control.
Can I say one more thing along that line?
Sure.
As you recall, ODOT was going to make some improvements to First and Reed in 97 to include those big reader boards that tell you what your speed is.
Yeah.
They're going to install those in the next week or so.
Right.
Likewise, they're going to do that road diet thing out here next week or two. This month, both those projects are getting done.
Yeah. For myself, I have been checking into the micro loans, as the city manager and I discussed, and I committed that with his agreement that I would go off and research what other cities have done in this area. And I did talk to Roger Lee today, and he gave me some further information that sounds very promising. So maybe by our work session, we'll have some definite information. In relationship to the cleanup for Huntington Meadows, I think most people know that I write an article for the Newberry Eagle on the middle of the month issue called The Mayor's Corner, and I did describe the cleanup in that article. So there'll be more that you can see that really went on at this event. Just a comment about the crosswalk and the great accomplishments we've had in the Weimart area down there, and the school crossing. I wouldn't want anybody to think that we're not going to have to deal with that again one day. There are so many entries and exits, and the traffic is increasing at such a rate that something eventually will have to be done about. You got two for the post office, you got two for Weimart, you got one coming out of St. Vincent de Paul, you've got three exits out of that little shopping mall next to, on the east side of Huntington. So it's a dangerous place still.
Yeah.
And like you said, that guy shot across there, you know, the older you get, I guess. The other thing I would like to point out is I have been working with George Kalb for a long time, and this was before the city manager came on board, about crosswalks for those people in Prairie House. And a message that was delivered at one time from George through our interim city manager was that you can't have a crosswalk that goes from a curb to a non-curb side of the street. And in pointing out some of these areas that the people, there's four or five or six of these people that drive their little go-karts or their little carts from Prairie House down to Weimart and the post office. And if anybody goes up and down on Morrison, they know what a speed zone that is. And I had asked for that to be done. And the reply was, like I said, they can't do that. I did also ask for crosswalks at 4th and Huntington, 3rd and Huntington, and I believe we have them at 1st and Huntington. And they agreed that this season they would paint those. And I got an email back from him saying that, reconfirming which ones we wanted painting, which I replied to, and I, of course I haven't seen any stripes yet, but maybe that's still to come and I'll check further. But I did find a case where they have painted from a sidewalk to a dirt side, and that is on First Street where Morrison meets it in a T, coming from the school zone, or from the school, across to the dirt parking lot. And I think that our seniors that live in Prairie House really ought to be treated as equal, and we ought to look into that.
Well, and I guess along those lines, last year we went through this goal setting, which in retrospect probably wasn't the best goal setting, but we were all brand new, we were just doing our best. I've asked the Public Works Committee, because a lot of the goals have to do with public works, to start thinking about things that we need to do in our community that will make a difference, and then provide that to you as part of the goal setting process. But why don't I bring that to their attention as one of the things that they're thinking about, as they're thinking about things that should be out there. One interesting that just came up about goals was a real need for a sidewalk from the senior center to Bymore. There's that stretch in there, and that would help get grandpa and grandma off of the shoulder of the road and provide some safe passage for them. So it's little things like that that I'm asking them to think about that we need as needs, and then provide you that spectrum of needs so that you can decide what you want to do.
I would like to bring to the council's thoughts the idea that there is a lot of money out there in grants and government projects that speak to sidewalks. Safe to School is one. That speak to sidewalks, sewers, storm drains, and that whole infrastructure piece of concrete in a city. And I know that the city manager has a great deal of experience there, and in grants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But you gotta have the time to write them and monitor them there. That's
well,
bad job.
But it's the only avenue we're gonna have to do that. Because of the way, we're not ever going to be able to afford this stuff on our own. So,
no.
Anyway.
And begging. Let's not forget begging, because I begged out here in front and paid off.
Well, you're only going to have to rise to higher heights because you've already shown how good a beggar you are.
I want to maybe add.
Is that a finding?
That's a finding.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I add something? I guess it would be Public Works that I sent you and Steve an email when my friend that's almost totally blind crossed the streets at Huntington and Ace. What is that?
Huntington and Ace?
Is that First? Okay, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Huntington and First. I thought when I first moved here that I heard signals for the blind coming from those, somewhere in my mind, but now evidently, if there was, they're not working. And I know several sight-impaired people, and that would be something maybe Public Works could look into also.
I'll add that to their list. No, I got to tell you, as a group, they're the best group I've ever worked with in a whole lot of things.
Good.
They're good people.
It's just not good.
He's got his gavel out.
Entertain a motion to adjourn, unless there's further comment.
I second it.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I intermission.
Yes.
Yes.
We'll make that motion.
Thank you.
Kathy seconds.
I knew it.
There's a second.
Whatever it is.
And there's no question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I knew it.
Not 8:30 yet.
You and John.
Are we all in favor? We're adjourned here.
Souls America.
Thanks again, Don. This was exactly. We got to do the city's business.
All this move.
Good thing to do it here.
Well, I'm not going to listen to you.